Well, hey, how can you not be joyful after singing all those hymns and getting just up and excited about who God is? And that's what we want to talk about today is Advent week 3. This is the week of promised joy. And we're going to learn a lot about joy. And the first thing I want to talk to you about, as usual, we got to say, well, what is joy? Because a lot of people think joy is happiness. And happiness is a little different. Happiness is based on how things are going outside of you. Happiness is based upon, you know, how good's your life right now? How good's your sports team going? How much you like that new car? How much things are going great at work? That's happiness. It's influenced a lot of times by circumstances. It's influenced a lot of times by what's happening in our world. And, you know, a lot of times we don't feel real happy. But God promises us that we can have something different and we can have something called joy. Happiness comes from the outside. Joy comes from the inside. As you probably can tell, joy comes from God. What did the angels say? We bring you good news of great joy. God brought good news of great joy that day, and we're still seeing the benefits of that. We're still understanding the joy that comes from the birth of Christ. And you know, we do this every year. It should never get old. The fact that we celebrate Christmas every year, I pray it doesn't get old for you. I pray that you look at it afresh every single year. And in fact, I want you to look at it afresh every single day. Because the joy that Christ brings is something you can never lose because it is a choice you make to keep it. If you're basically tied up in being happy, letting the exterior stuff influence how you feel, how happy you are, you're going to be like this, up and down, all over the place. God is the source of true joy. He doesn't change. And when you take that joy into you and let it work from the inside out, then your joy will not do this. Your joy will just keep ascending, going up and up and up. And it's not being fake. You know, we can fake being happy. How many can fake being happy? Oh, I love that gift, just what I always wanted, wool socks. Thank you, right? Yeah, I see a lot of you nodding to that one. And then what do? With those wool socks? We re-gift them to someone, and they say the same thing. But joy is different. Joy is based on something that is deep, and we're going to learn today what it is based on. And I want you to understand something about joy. It comes from God. You can't make your own joy. Can you make your own happiness? You can. You can try, okay? You know, what's it? Money can't buy happiness? And some people would say, well, they just don't know where to shop, okay? But nothing can buy joy. It is a gift of God. We're going to see that. And it is God coming on the inside of us. It is God changing our hearts where we can look at things from an entirely different perspective and where we don't really care what's going on around us. We don't care if the stock market's up. We don't care who won the World Cup. We don't care if the Titans won. We don't care any of that stuff. We don't even care if that new car gets a ding from the Walmart parking lot, despite the fact that we parked at the very end, okay? Y'all know that one too. It doesn't matter because this joy is something that is deep. And it's something that I want you to really understand that it is from Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at a Old Testament prophecy today, and we're going to look how that testament or that prophecy was fulfilled in the lives of three people we meet in the New Testament. But I want to start with this verse. Turn over, if you would, to John 15:11. And this is Jesus talking, and he's talking about a special kind of joy. Remember last week we looked at peace and we learned that peace really wasn't what sometimes we think it is. We think of peace as being the absence of conflict. And we learn that peace is well-being that comes from God, the true biblical peace. Joy is kind of the same thing. Here's what Jesus said in John 15:11. He says, these things, he's talking about all the sermons he's just given, I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full or complete. So you think about joy. What type of joy do we have as Christians? We have the same joy that Jesus Christ had. Do you know that Jesus counted it joy that he was taken to the cross? We sang Amazing Grace this morning. Anybody would think, that's not a Christmas song. Oh, yes it is. Jesus counted it joy that he was despised, that he was ridiculed, that he was nailed to that cross because he knew what he was doing. And he said, I'm leaving you with my joy so that your joy can be complete. So we look at that scripture, and let me ask you just a simple question based on that. Can you have complete joy without Jesus Christ? You see that in the scripture? Okay, he says, I'm giving you my joy so that yours can be complete. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be just overflowing with joy. And let me ask you this. When you're joyful about something, what do? You spread it, don't you? Let me ask you, all right, anybody done a baby reveal? Or grandkids, anybody like that? That's the hot thing to do today. And one of my secretaries did a baby reveal. And they were spreading the joyful news of what their baby was. And just spent an enormous amount of money to do this baby reveal. But it's like, here's these blue things getting shot out of a cannon. So it was a boy. That's kind of joy. But we can't keep it in. What do you do when you get that Christmas present that brings you so much joy or brings you so much happiness? Post it on Facebook? Call somebody and say thanks. Call somebody and say, hey, guess what I got? That's joy. Joy is something that we cannot keep in. Jesus didn't keep it in. He left it for us. He left it for us and he wants us to share it. So the true story of joy is that it comes from knowing that Jesus is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I want you to think about this. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. He will always love you. He will always forgive you. And there is nothing that can take a child of God out of his hands. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That should create in us a joy that just ought to knock us down. We ought to be excited about that joy. We ought to be ready to go out and tell that joy to somebody else. So don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever get, oh, it's third week of Advent again, it's Pink Candle Day. Don't get like that. Joy should be fresh. Joy should be new every time that you see it, every time you experience it. So, where does joy come from? Well, I told you that it comes from the birth of Jesus Christ, but we can get even more technical than that. The Greek word for joy is chara. It comes from the Greek word for grace, which is charisma. So joy, even in, we can look at the Bible, but joy, even in its origin, comes from God's grace. We cannot have this kind of true joy without God. So God gives us this Old Testament prophecy. And this tells us something about God, too. As you listen to this story, God took joy in revealing the birth of His Son, just like people take joy in baby reveals today. God gave us prophecy after prophecy. We could go back to Genesis, where God started preparing His people for the joy that was to come with the birth of the Messiah. He gets real particular, though. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. And you could pick any of the Isaiah verses we've been reading. You could pick any of the the Old Testament verses we've been reading, but I just want you to look at God preparing His people, because that's what we've been doing for, this is our third week now. We're preparing for Jesus to come. I hope that you're preparing, like this one says, let every heart prepare Him room. I hope that that's what you're doing. I hope you're thinking about what it really means for Him to come into this earth and what it means for Him to come again, because He is coming again. That's what our great hope is. That is the source of our peace, and that should be the source of our joy. God was so ready. He wanted the people never to miss this. He wanted them to understand what was coming and who was coming. So in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, He says, after telling Isaiah that He's going to comfort His people, He says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So God's telling Isaiah to tell the people that there's a time coming when somebody is going to announce the coming birth of Jesus Christ, who's going to say, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He's going to try to straighten out the crooked. He's going to preach that the Messiah is coming. He's going to preach the source of true joy. Now, that was written in 740 B.C. We got to fast forward 740 years to see this part fulfilled. But it was fulfilled, just like every single promise that God has made in His Scripture has been fulfilled. All right. Fast forward to the time of Roman occupation in Israel. There's a family. Husband is named Zechariah. Wife is named Elizabeth. They are old. They've been praying, they've been praying, and they really have asked God to send them a child, send them a son, but they've just written it off. Their time had passed, they thought. We never need to forget it's God's timing. And with God, all things are possible. But they knew this prophecy. They knew somebody would come. They knew that somebody would come to prepare the way of the Lord. And they prayed for that. They prayed that God would give them a son. So let's look at Luke. I know you guys were probably in Luke chapter 2. Go back to Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 11. And you guys know ultimately, we'll jump a little bit to the end of the story, that the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah was somebody named John the Baptist, whose very purpose was to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Zechariah is a priest, and he's actually been selected this year, this very day, to go into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice, to burn incense. See, that was a great honor. And it only came around once in a lifetime. Certainly once a year they selected a chief priest. But he was the guy for today. So he's in the Holy of Holies. He's burning incense to the Lord. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And I want you to look at verse 14. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice," have joy, "at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this is what John's doing. This is what brought John to this earth. This is John's purpose in life. It was to bring joy. It was to prepare people for the joyful coming of Jesus Christ. Now, we know he's going to bring joy to his father and mother, right? I mean, that's going to be pretty clear. But I just want you to go back to verse 14. And many will rejoice at his birth. So you should see the connection between that Old Testament prophecy. He's coming to prepare the way of the Lord. He's coming to introduce people to Jesus Christ. He was born with that purpose. He was born with the idea that he was going to direct people to Jesus. And God said, that is joy. Right? So what can we learn from the fact that God says, John leading people to Jesus is joy? Can we substitute our name for John? Yes, you can. Joy is leading people to Christ. The first thing is, the birth of Jesus is the source of true joy. Without Jesus coming on the face of the earth, without him being God incarnate, we would not have joy. You would have no hope, and you would have no peace. You think you can have true joy without true hope and true peace? No. That's kind of why this is the third week, because we look at those longings that give us hope. You don't need hope if everything's going great. Hope comes from those longings, from that need that we looked at. Peace comes from realizing that, you know, things aren't right between me and God. But there's a way for them to get right. It's through Jesus Christ. And once you have that hope that comes from God, and once you have that peace that comes from Jesus Christ, then you can have this joy. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two is, it is joy to lead others to know and experience God. So how do I get that out of this story? Well, because Luke says, John's going to do this. This is what is going to bring rejoicing to many people. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. That's what he's going to do. When John came, you guys will probably know this statement that he made. You know, his disciples come to him and go, John, hey, Jesus has taken all of our disciples. He's taken all your supporters. You know what John said? Amen. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. John knew what he was there for. He knew the source of true joy. He knew that he wanted to cause as many people as he could to hear the gospel and to understand that they could follow Jesus Christ, that they could know God in a way that the Jewish people hadn't known God for years. You know, I tell you a lot that Jesus coming and the message that Jesus preached was about access. The Jewish religion had built access to God up so, made it so complicated, you couldn't access God. There's only one person, one day of the year, who could really access God. Do you know how hard that would be? Can you imagine not being able to pray to God? Can you imagine not being able to say, God help? Can you imagine not thinking that you could experience God? Because that's only that one priest on that day? There wouldn't be any joy in that, would there? You got to think about how this was. And Jesus came, those angels announced that this is good news of great joy, which shall be to some people? All people. That's right. It's to all people. So, we know that John was going to bring joy. Look over at verse 18 in Luke 1. Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So Zacharias, man, he's religious, but he doesn't believe, because he's old. Sounds a little bit like Abraham, right? I got to take things into my own hands. No. We need to remember to put our faith in God. And remember, it's God's timing and God's power. It's not anything that Zacharias is going to do. It's not anything that's going to happen. God is going to move in their life so that they have this promised son. So even though the good news comes to us, sometimes, well, we know the world has trouble believing it, right? Because most people don't. Sometimes Christians have a tough time believing it. You mean I'm forgiven and I don't have to do anything? I don't have to pay anything? I don't have to work? I don't have to do anything? No, you are forgiven because of that amazing grace we sang about. That's it. God's amazing grace. That's the only reason that you're forgiven. So this story, it's a great story. We know that Elizabeth becomes pregnant, and then all of a sudden we see, let's look at verse 57. When Elizabeth's time came, it says, Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced. There's that word again. Rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. That was the pattern. They would name him something bar Zacharias, or they would actually name him Zacharias again. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There's nobody in your family named John." So they made signs to his father. Remember, dad can't talk. They made signs to his father and said, "What do you want him called?" And he wrote, he asked for a writing tablet, and wrote, "His name is John." So they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Now I want you to listen to these next two verses. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. They understood that there was going to be something special about John. His name, even in the original language, means Jehovah grants grace, or God's grace. We know what John was designed, created to do. Every one of us has a purpose in life. We have the same kind of calling that John had. He was called to bring joy to his parents and to bring joy to the world, by preparing the way of the Lord. A voice crying in the wilderness. So, if he's going to bring joy to the world, the lesson that he taught was third, and it is that joy comes from the grace of God. I've already told you, literally, that is happened. That's the only way that you get the word kara. It's the only way you get the word joy, is because the word grace brings it all. But look at what they did. These people, they understood there's something special about him, and they're waiting, they're watching his life to see what's going to happen. When he grows up, what does he do? He starts preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. And he starts to preach repentance. Turn from your sinful ways because the king is coming. When Jesus stepped down that day, John identified him. We talked about that in high school Sunday school class today. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You want a public pronouncement? John was the hottest thing going in preachers. Okay? He was out there baptizing people in the Jordan River all day long. And here comes Jesus. And in this public pronouncement, he says, "That is the Lamb of God. That is your offering that will take away all of your sin." He didn't say, "Here's a list of stuff you've got to do. This is the Lamb of" who? God. God provides the Lamb. God always provided the Lamb. He says, "Behold, the Lamb from God who will take away your sin." That was his message of joy. That was his simple message, and that can be our message of joy. That message is the simple message that made many people rejoice, just like the Bible said it would. It's a very simple thing to talk about how joy comes. It can be hard to let joy come into your heart. It is a decision. It is no different than your decision to let Christ rule in your heart. It is to decide, "I am not going to be influenced by these outer things. I'm not going to let them change my joy. I am going to have the joy that God gave me through His Son all those years ago, and the joy will keep me looking for His return." That's the simple joy that this story tells us. And it's a story of joy that God prepared from literally the Garden of Eden. Remember that first prophecy, Genesis chapter 3? He will send a Messiah to deal with our sin problem. He keeps telling people how exciting this is and how glorious it's going to be. And he starts, when he gets to Isaiah, to really tell them who this is, what this Messiah is going to look like, how he's going to be, why we should be looking to him. And then he goes quiet for 400 years. No prophecy. Some people got a little tired. Some people said, "Well, nothing's going to happen." Some people kept praying. Some people kept looking to him as the source of true joy. Some people kept looking to him to fulfill the promises that he made. Time goes on by. Folks, we get in that same situation too. People will tell me today, "He's not coming back. He had to come back a long time ago. We're in such a mess, he would already come back." You know, from what Tanya said to what Elizabeth said to what Luke said, we heard about good timing, God's timing, three times today. And it's God's timing. He knows when it's time. And until that moment, we can have joy in looking for Him to come back. We can have this joy in knowing that He will always be with us, that He will never leave us, that He will always love us. And we simply need to decide to have it. So my question to you this morning is, do you have that joy? If you have never taken Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now know you cannot have it, because it has to come through Jesus Christ. He says, "I leave you my joy so that yours can be complete." You cannot have it without Jesus Christ. So if there's anybody in here today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, recognized Him as the Messiah, then you cannot have true joy. You can be happy, you can be sad, but you can't have this kind of true joy. One way to fix that, it just takes a second. Acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. For those of us that are Christians, you know, sometimes we get run down too, don't we? We let things get to us. And, you know, there are days I'm not happy. Actually, if you read the Bible, God never actually promises us that we're going to be happy all the time. It's nowhere to be found. But what He does promise us is that we can be joyful every single second of our life. Because joy is different than happiness. So if you're struggling today as a Christian and you're thinking, I'm getting battered all around, you may be. Pray to God. He will lead you through that. He will be with you through that. And the joy that you have should be knowing that He is with you that entire time. He may not take you out of the situation, but He will bring you through the situation in His love and in His faithfulness. So if you're in that situation today, just pray, God, restore to me the joy of Your salvation. You gave me this salvation. Restore my joy. And He will do that. It all starts with Jesus Christ, though. So as we're a couple of weeks away from Christmas, pray you take this very, very seriously. I really want you all to pray and think about what Christ coming the first time meant to you, how it's changed your life, and think about how you're going to take that joyful news and you're going to share it with others so that they can have the same experience you do. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You once again for this fulfilled prophecy. God, we know that You started this reveal in the Garden of Eden. You started telling us about who our Messiah was going to be. And then finally, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, He burst forth, Lord. We just praise You and we thank You for that as we celebrate His birth this season. Father, He came as a lamb. And He came to be the sacrificial lamb so that we could spend eternity with You. He came to save us from our sin. And He became sin for us, He who knew no sin. Father, we can't even fathom what that would be like, to be without sin and all of a sudden to become sin. We know that only He, the spotless Lamb of God, could have done that. We thank You for His sacrifice, Father. We thank You for sending Him to earth. As we continue to pray, as we continue to prepare for His arrival on Christmas Day, just ask You to put in our hearts and our minds the true meaning of Christmas. Fill us with hope, with joy, with peace and love. Show us the light that Your Son brought, and let us be faithful to share that light, just as John was, just as Elizabeth and Zechariah were. Just give us those opportunities, Father. Give us the chances to spread the light this year, to spread the good news of Your Son's birth. And we just thank You so much for that. And this we pray in His name. Amen.